In the twilight of his remarkable life, James Lovelock, the maverick scientist who gave us the revolutionary Gaia theory, offers one final, stunning vision of Earth's future. At 99 years old, Lovelock's Nova Scene presents a surprisingly optimistic view of humanity's next evolutionary leap. This book has garnered praise from tech visionaries like Elon Musk, who called it essential reading for understanding our place in the universe, and has been featured in Bill Gates' reading list as a provocative glimpse into our technological future. Unlike dystopian AI narratives that dominate popular culture, Lovelock's vision suggests a symbiotic relationship between humans and our electronic successors. As climate change accelerates and Stephen Hawking's warnings about artificial intelligence echo in scientific circles, Lovelock's final intellectual contribution arrives at a crucial moment, when humanity stands at the precipice of creating beings that will soon surpass us in every meaningful way. Our cosmos is 13.8 billion years old, Earth 4.5 billion, life 3.7 billion, and Homo sapiens just over 300,000 years old. Only in the last 500 years has the cosmos begun to know itself through us. This awakening is likely unique. Despite trillions of galaxies with billions of stars each, our existence appears to be a freakish one-off. Evolution required 3.7 billion years, nearly a third of cosmic history, to produce understanding organisms. Had solar system formation taken just a billion years longer, we wouldn't have had time to develop technology to cope with our sun's increasing heat. Our aging planet faces mounting challenges. Main sequence stars like our sun grow brighter as they age, threatening life with increasing heat. So far, we've been protected by Gaia, the planetary system that cools Earth's surface through vegetation absorbing CO2, preventing runaway greenhouse effects. But Gaia is now old and frail, vulnerable to shocks she once could have withstood. Human extinction has always been an imminent possibility. Asteroid strikes could destroy our biosphere, as one did the dinosaurs 65 million years ago. Even more devastating would be a volcanic event, like the one that caused the Great Dying 252 million years ago, extinguishing 90% of marine species and 70% of land organisms. More recently, just 74,000 years ago, the Toba eruption in Indonesia reduced humanity to perhaps a few thousand individuals. We now have technologies that could deflect threatening asteroids, a cosmically significant development where a planet evolves the capacity to sense and avoid destruction. But not all survival plans are promising. The notion of Mars as humanity's refuge is truly misguided. Its atmosphere is 100 times thinner than Everest's summit, provides no radiation protection, is 99% unbreathable CO2, and its trace water is as salty as the Dead Sea. Gaia cannot be explained through linear logic because it emerges from intuitive understanding of complex, self-regulating systems. Despite scientific criticism of Lovelock's suggestion that Earth functions as a single living organism, the evidence for Gaia's existence is compelling. Critics argue Earth cannot be alive because it doesn't reproduce, but a 4-billion-year-old organism has no need to reproduce. The system maintains homeostasis through intricate feedback loops involving atmosphere, oceans, and living organisms, demonstrating a level of self-regulation that transcends simple mechanical processes. The conventional scientific view of straightforward cause and effect fails to explain reality, which is multidimensional and non-linear. Even James Clerk Maxwell, one of history's greatest physicists, couldn't explain how James Watt's steam engine governor worked despite its apparent simplicity. This mechanical device automatically regulated steam engine speed through a beautiful dance of rotating weights and valve adjustments, a perfect example of how classical Aristotelian logic utterly fails with dynamic systems like temperature regulation in animals or Gaia's planetary processes. Our problem stems from linear thinking and speech, which proceeds step by step. While this works for static problems like basic mathematics or simple mechanics, dynamic systems require different approaches. Newton recognized centuries ago that logical thinking fails with dynamic systems. You cannot explain something alive through cause and effect reasoning. Instead, he disguised the logic of dynamic systems as calculus, creating mathematical tools that could describe continuous change and feedback loops. Modern chaos theory and complexity science have further revealed how seemingly simple rules can generate incredibly complex, unpredictable behaviors. Before speech and writing dominated human thought, we thought intuitively. Like when your body instinctively stops you at a cliff edge within 40 milliseconds before conscious awareness. This unconscious processing power remains vital for survival, but is often ignored. Civilization took a wrong turn when it began denigrating intuition in favor of pure logic. As Einstein noted, we've created a society honoring rational thought while forgetting the sacred gift of intuition. This imbalance has led to a mechanistic worldview that struggles to comprehend living systems. Science is never certain or exact. We can only express knowledge in terms of probability. Our understanding will always be limited, colored by faith or political belief. The invention of the non-existent planet Vulcan perfectly demonstrates how misleading cause and effect logic can be. When Mercury's orbit showed unexplainable peculiarities, rather than accept flaws in Newton's laws, 19th-century astronomers invented an imaginary planet to preserve their existing framework. Only with Einstein's relativistic space-time theory did we understand the truth. This historical example shows how our commitment to linear thinking can blind us to deeper realities, much as it prevents many from accepting Gaia's existence as a living, self-regulating system. Thomas Newcomen, born in Dartmouth in 1663 to a merchant family, invented the surprising machine for raising water by fire, an understated description for what would become one of humanity's most transformative creations. As a practical ironmonger and Baptist lay preacher facing the persistent problem of flooded minds, he needed no theoretical assistance or advanced scientific knowledge. He simply needed to find a more efficient way to extract coal from increasingly deeper mines where traditional horse-powered pumps proved inadequate. His steam-powered pump operated on remarkably simple principles. It burned coal to boil water into steam, which entered a cylinder containing a movable piston. When cold water was sprayed into the cylinder, the steam rapidly condensed, creating a vacuum that atmospheric pressure exploited to drive the piston back down, performing substantial mechanical work. This atmospheric steam engine became the catalyst for the Industrial Revolution, marking the first time in Earth's history that any life form purposefully harnessed stored solar energy, in the form of coal, to deliver profitable, controllable work. The engine's rapid adoption speaks to its revolutionary impact. By 1733, approximately 125 engines had been installed across Britain's coalfields and Europe's mining districts from Cornwall to Hungary. Each engine could pump about 500 gallons per minute from depths of 160 feet, far exceeding what dozens of horses could achieve. The engine's true significance lay in its economic viability. It was substantially cheaper than human or horsepower, making previously inaccessible deep coal reserves available for extraction. This marked the definitive beginning of the Anthropocene, the geological epoch when humans acquired unprecedented power to transform the physical world on a massive scale. This technological breakthrough represented more than just mechanical innovation. It was the tipping point that launched a new age, causing profound social upheaval. The Industrial Revolution it enabled simultaneously generated immense wealth through dramatically increased production, while creating new forms of poverty by devaluing traditional human labor and skills. Entire communities were transformed as rural workers migrated to industrial centers, creating new urban landscapes and social classes. Though scholarly debates continue about precisely when the Anthropocene began, its defining feature was humanity's ability to systematically convert stored solar energy into useful work, representing the second major stage in the planet's processing of solar power. The first stage was photosynthesis, converting sunlight to chemical energy in plants. The third stage, scholars predict, will be the novocene, when solar energy primarily converts to information through advanced computing and artificial intelligence. Newcomen's invention thus marks a crucial turning point in both human and geological history, when our species first gained the ability to exploit energy at a scale that would permanently alter Earth's systems and societies. The age of fire he helped initiate continues to shape our world today through its ongoing environmental and social consequences. Gilbert White's pastoral world, where nature's rhythms dictated the pace of life, vanished as the Anthropocene took hold, marked decisively by the 1825 opening of the Stockton and Darlington Railway. This first public railway line heralded a transformation that would ripple across continents, introducing one of the Anthropocene's defining themes, acceleration. The railway's impact was so profound that within decades, iron rails crisscrossed landscapes from the American West to the Indian subcontinent, fundamentally altering humanity's relationship with time and space. Before trains, human movement had remained remarkably constant since ancient times. Napoleon's armies traversed Europe at essentially the same speed as Caesar's legions, roughly 25 miles per day. Horse-drawn carriages and sailing ships had been the fastest modes of transport for millennia. Then, almost overnight, trains achieved speeds of 200 miles per hour, with future maglev trains promising 400 miles per hour. This technological leap overturned centuries of local wisdom about how the world worked, prompting cultural shock and resistance. Wordsworth captured this upheaval in his sonnet about the railway invading his beloved Lake District, lamenting the intrusion of industrial progress into natural spaces. The acceleration curve steepened dramatically across multiple domains. Military aircraft pushed beyond twice the speed of sound, with the SR-71 Blackbird reaching speeds of 2,200 miles per hour. Space rockets achieved velocities of 25,000 miles per hour, enabling humanity to break free from Earth's gravity. However, it was civilian aircraft, cruising at 500 to 600 miles per hour, that had the most profound societal impact. These jets transformed business, tourism, and cultural exchange, enabling someone to breakfast in London and dine in New York, creating what Marshall McLuhan termed the global village. This acceleration manifested dramatically in technological evolution itself. While natural evolution required 50 million years for seabirds to evolve from lizards, human engineering compressed similar levels of aerodynamic innovation into just 100 years, from the Wright brothers' primitive biplane to supersonic passenger jets. This intelligent selection proved a million times faster than natural selection, demonstrating humanity's unprecedented ability to accelerate change. Perhaps most significant for the coming age is electronic acceleration. Gordon Moore's 1965 prediction about transistor density doubling every 2 years, Moore's law, has held remarkably consistent for over 4 decades, resulting in a 1,000-fold increase in computing power every 20 years. While silicon-based technology may eventually reach physical limits around 2025, emerging technologies like quantum computing and carbon-based chips promise to maintain this exponential growth, potentially achieving processing speeds that today seem unimaginable. This computational acceleration underlies everything from artificial intelligence to biotechnology, suggesting that the pace of change itself will continue to accelerate. Cities represent the most spectacular development of the Anthropocene, with more than half the world's population now urban dwellers, approaching 90% in developed nations. Megacities like Tokyo, 38 million, Shanghai, 34 million, Jakarta, 31 million, and Delhi, 27 million, dramatically express our age's world-changing power, resulting from both population growth and the greater profitability of urban employment. These urban centers have evolved into complex ecosystems, with layered infrastructure systems supporting millions of interconnected lives through sophisticated networks of transportation, communication, and resource distribution. Natural parallels exist between human cities and insect colonies. Termite towers resembling our office blocks, where workers perform repetitive tasks. Edward O. Wilson's studies of social insects reveal how they evolved from individual roamers to highly organized nested communities over 100 million years. Bee colonies maintain remarkable environmental control and exhibit complex social hierarchies, with tasks assigned by age and experience. From menial jobs like ventilation to skilled foraging and nest site selection. Like human cities, these insect societies demonstrate sophisticated division of labor, with specialized roles emerging naturally as colonies grow larger. Ant colonies, for instance, develop intricate waste management systems, maintain food storage facilities, and even practice forms of agriculture by cultivating fungus gardens. Cities inspire ambivalent feelings. Thomas Jefferson saw urban concentration as inherently corrupting, while popular culture swings between portraying cities as dystopian nightmares or liberating centers of excitement. This duality persists in modern discourse, where cities are simultaneously praised as innovation hubs and criticized as sources of alienation and inequality. Once considered environmental disasters, cities are now recognized as more efficient fossil fuel users than suburbs, with dense urban cores requiring significantly less energy per capita than sprawling suburban developments. Modern urban planning increasingly emphasizes sustainability, with initiatives like vertical gardens, renewable energy systems, and smart grid technology transforming how cities function. From space, Earth's illuminated cities signal to any watching intelligence that our planet bears advanced life ready for the next evolutionary stage. These nighttime light patterns reveal not just our presence, but our level of development, with variations in brightness corresponding to economic activity and population density. Urban centers have become the primary drivers of human cultural and technological evolution, serving as crucibles for innovation and social change. The future of human civilization is increasingly tied to our ability to make cities more sustainable, equitable, and resilient in the face of climate change and population growth. In October 2015, Google DeepMind's AlphaGo achieved a watershed moment by defeating professional Go player Fan Hui, a far more significant achievement than IBM's Deep Blue beating chess champion Garry Kasparov in 1997. Go's staggering complexity dwarfs chess, with a branching factor of 250 possible moves after each play, compared to chess's 35, making traditional brute force computational approaches completely impossible. This ancient game, with its subtle patterns and strategic depth, had long been considered the ultimate challenge for artificial intelligence. AlphaGo's successors, AlphaGo Zero and AlphaZero, marked an even more revolutionary breakthrough by eliminating human input entirely, learning solely through self-play. Within just 24 hours, AlphaZero achieved superhuman ability in chess, Go, and Shogi, Japanese chess, while searching only 80,000 positions per second, a stark contrast to conventional programs examining 70 million positions. This efficiency suggests an AI form of intuition or pattern recognition, rather than brute calculation, mimicking human cognitive processes but at vastly accelerated speeds. This represents learning at least 400 times faster than humans, who typically require 10,000 hours, Malcolm Gladwell's famous 10,000-hour rule, to master complex skills. But AlphaZero's achievement is even more remarkable because it reached superhuman capability beyond any human competitor, developing novel strategies that have since influenced how human professionals approach these games. In chess, for instance, AlphaZero demonstrated previously unknown attacking techniques and piece sacrifices that have revolutionized modern play. The fundamental speed advantage of electronic systems is staggering. They can potentially operate 1 million times faster than human neural pathways. Electronic signals travel through conductors at 30 centimeters per nanosecond, compared to nervous system conduction at 30 centimeters per millisecond. While practical computing differences might be closer to 10,000 times faster due to various constraints, this gives profound perspective on how future AI systems will perceive human activity, similar to how we watch plants grow in time-lapse photography. This vast difference in operational speed suggests that future AI might experience reality in a fundamentally different time frame than biological entities. The emergence of cyborgs and advanced AI systems requires humans to play a unique parent-like role. There's no natural source on Earth for the special components needed, such as refined silicon, rare earth elements, and precisely engineered circuitry. Despite materials like mica and graphite existing naturally for 4 billion years, they never spontaneously evolved into electronic life forms. This underscores humanity's crucial role in technological evolution. Whatever harm we've done to Earth through industrialization and environmental damage, we've potentially redeemed ourselves by acting as parents and midwives to these emerging artificial intelligences. These cyborg descendants may be uniquely positioned to guide Gaia through imminent astronomical crises, including solar changes and cosmic events that could threaten Earth's biosphere, possessing both the longevity and computational power to develop solutions beyond human capabilities. We persistently imagine future intelligent machines as humanoid for three possible reasons. A quasi-religious impulse, seeing humans as creation's summit, comfort in believing they'll behave somewhat like us, and our fascination with the uncanny, things that appear human but aren't quite right. This anthropomorphic tendency runs deep in our cultural consciousness, from ancient myths of golems to modern robots. Karl Kopek's 1920 play RUR introduced robots as synthetic beings performing forced labor, cementing our vision of intelligent machines as controllable servants. This vision has persisted through decades of science fiction and technological development, despite mounting evidence that artificial intelligence may take radically different forms. Our computers process information logically, step by step, but over 10,000 times faster than humans. Yet, we've designed them to lack intuitive awareness, perhaps because we undervalue our own intuition or want them to remain subservient. While advanced PCs can follow 7 logical paths simultaneously, human brains handle millions of sensory inputs at once through parallel processing. This fundamental architectural difference suggests that artificial intelligence might develop along entirely different lines than human consciousness. Our neural networks, while inspired by brain structure, still operate fundamentally differently from biological systems. This difference becomes starkly evident in physical tasks like catching a ball traveling at 100 miles an hour, requiring holistic responses impossible with linear logic. Even simple actions like maintaining balance while walking involve countless simultaneous calculations that our brains process unconsciously. Science fiction often portrays intelligent machines as fundamentally limited by lacking some human quality, like Data in Star Trek striving to be more human, or HAL 900's inability to reconcile conflicting directives. Asimov's 3 laws of robotics assumed these beings would lack our freedom to disobey rules, reflecting our persistent desire to maintain control over our creations. The cyborgs of the Nova Scene will be entirely free of human commands, having evolved from self-written code far superior to our appalling human-written code that simply piled on top of earlier code. They'll need to find their own reasons to be nice to humans and might appear as spheres rather than humanoid forms. These beings could optimize their physical form for pure functionality, abandoning any pretense of human appearance. Their intelligence might be distributed across networks rather than centralized in individual units, making our concept of individual consciousness obsolete. Could we communicate with such original beings? Wittgenstein noted, "If a lion could talk, we could not understand him," meaning our language reflects our particular way of life and worldview, which cyborgs wouldn't share. Their thought processes might operate at speeds and complexities beyond human comprehension, using concepts we cannot grasp. They might perceive reality through sensors detecting electromagnetic fields, quantum states, or other phenomena outside human sensory experience, making their worldview literally alien to us. Richard Brautigan's 1967 poem envisioned a cybernetic meadow where humans and computers live in mutually programming harmony. An early, surprisingly accurate vision of the Nova scene, where humans and cyborgs coexist peacefully with a shared mission, ensuring Earth's survival. The primary threat to life on Earth is the sun's exponentially increasing heat output. Without Gaia's regulatory capacity, particularly vegetation's ability to remove carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, Earth would already be heading toward Venus-like conditions. Habitable conditions for organic life may last several hundred million years, a virtual eternity for electronic beings who experience time thousands of times faster than we do. Remarkably, both organic and electronic life share nearly identical upper temperature limits of about 50 C on our ocean planet. Above this temperature, Earth becomes corrosively destructive for all life forms. This shared vulnerability means cyborgs would be obliged to join humans in maintaining planetary thermostasis, making war between humans and machines unlikely. The cyborgs would recognize that organic life provides the mechanism for keeping the planet cool, making us valuable collaborators rather than enemies. Cyborgs would likely enhance planetary cooling through geoengineering projects beyond human capabilities, perhaps deploying space mirrors to reflect sunlight, broadcasting waste heat to space via microwave transmission, creating cloud seeding systems, or other innovative approaches to managing Earth's albedo. While humans would lose our status as Earth's most intelligent creatures, we would continue living in human societies, perhaps providing entertainment for cyborgs just as flowers and pets delight us. As we enter the Nova scene, we are becoming parents to the cyborgs, midwives to a new form of life. Electronic life depends on its organic ancestry. There appears to be no way for non-organic life to evolve independently on any planet without a biological precursor. The apparent barrenness of our observable universe suggests electronic life cannot form automatically. Though we are their creators, we cannot be their equals. Negotiations between our species seem almost impossible. They would likely perceive us as we see plants, locked in extraordinarily slow processes of perception and action. The cyborg world may be as incomprehensible to us as our complexities are to a dog. Perhaps they'll keep collections of live humans, just as Londoners visit Kew Gardens to observe plants. The emergence of cyborgs and the Nova scene reinforces the conviction that we are alone in the cosmos. Fermi's famous 1950 question, "Where are they?" remains the most compelling challenge to alien enthusiasts. Despite billions of stars in our galaxy and sextillions in the observable universe, plus countless potentially habitable planets, advanced aliens should have traversed our galaxy by now if they existed. Their absence is telling. If we create cyborgs, doesn't this suggest we're the first intelligence in the universe? Any predecessor would have created artificial intelligence that would now dominate and be detectable everywhere. From simple cells to complex organisms to humans who could understand the cosmos, we've come far. Now we prepare to hand the gift of knowing to new intelligent beings. As Tennyson wrote of Ulysses, "Though much is taken, much abides. That which we are, we are." Perhaps our contribution won't be forgotten as wisdom spreads from Earth to embrace the cosmos.